Let's hear the EO report.
Okay, so I do have one thing under the EO that I want to make sure I touch on, and that is farm tours. Their CDFA is working to establish the next farm tour. The two board members who have not been on one are Mr. Jeffries and Dr. Hunter. Dr. Hunter sent me the one day in April that she's available. I think that...
No, I said I'm available up to that day.
Oh, I'm sorry, I misread that. Up to the 14th.
Up to the 14th.
Oh,
right.
Very good.
Any
okay.
day up to the 14th.
Okay.
Not,
then,
not after?
But not after. Then I'm out of state the rest of the month.
Okay. So, Mr. Jeffries, if you can give me your calendar before you leave tomorrow, that would be appreciated. Then I can.
What date?
Well, right now, it's generally the month of April, and I just need to give available
up to
dates.
The 14th. Yeah. Well, we're going to need to do it. You guys got to coordinate.
Okay. And where is the tour going to be?
I don't know. That hasn't been established.
Sandra Schubert has helped me to organize that. Food and Ag Deputy Secretary.
Well, it would matter in travel time, either for Monica or for me.
Right.
Yeah. It'll be. I think it'll be somewhere in the Salinas Valley someplace. Okay. And I think it's going to focus, per the request of board members, on small farms and some other things that have not been seen yet.
So we're looking up to the 14th?
And I would say that if we can't do anything until after the 14th, then I guess that would leave a slot open for another board member to participate.
I'll tell you, April 9th is the only one I can think off the top of my head.
That you cannot participate? Okay.
Well, the point was to allow all board members to participate and to be available for these mini discussions.
I prefer that you don't do it on a Monday.
Okay. Well, I'm out of the country from April 30th to May 17th, so... Hopefully, we can do this before April 14th. I'll be available to do it. But, I mean, from April 14th, Monica's not available for 2 weeks, and then I stretch that out to the third week in May. Mm-hmm. So I'm just saying maybe we can work hard to pick a date. Dr. Wolf.
At the last meeting, when we were talking about some of the tours, I think I mentioned that perhaps it would be beneficial also for our board to see some what I'll call ecologically friendly projects, and to provide perhaps a little bit of balance between the farm tours proper and maybe best management practice, but also some riparian corridor improvements, biofilters, things like that. And last year I had an email from the folks from the Alcorn Slough National Estuary Research Reserve in Watsonville, had indicated their interest to perhaps host at some time and point a tour. So
what do they have?
They wanted to show...
We did a tour with them.
Yeah, exactly. They said that we did a tour a few years ago, but because of the new board members, maybe it would be beneficial to show. I'm just passing the message. But I guess what I'm suggesting, if there was some way that we could, in the future, incorporate maybe a couple of projects that were done through the RCDs or the NRCS. There's plenty of them in the county.
We have talked to a number of people and have passed on the board's desire for a variety of farm tours, and others have said that they were interested in providing those. I haven't heard anything back from them specifically, so I'll have to go back to them and ask them about initiating that. But we have expressed that desire on your part to others.
And to Mr. Schimmick. Also, I think we've extended that to the keepers and, any other environmental groups.
Okay, so at the end of the meeting today, I'll make sure I email Sandra and give her those constraints on the date and ask her to
try to do it before the 14th and not on Monday.
Right.
And the 9th.
And the 9th, okay. Right. I've got the 9th down.
That's the only day on April until the 14th.
Right.
Let me tell you now. April 2nd is not going to work.
One second, Jeff. I've run out of space on my other... Okay, what are the dates?
April 2nd. So that'd be the only other day in that mix.
Okay.
That
April 2nd.
14th. So take out
the 9th.
The 2nd, and Russ said what?
The 9th?
Russ said the 9th is on a Tuesday as well.
Monday, and then not past less than or equal. The 14th, you are not available on the 14th.
Or well, that's a Sunday.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wow. April 14th.
14th, so that's 13th. So the 12th. Well, you could do the 12th, right?
I have to do it on the 15th, but we can't do Monday.
Okay.
I meant
to say the 15th. So the basically the 12th. Less than or equal to the 12th. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
10th, 11th, 12th,
3rd. Why don't you let her know we're going to be done in an hour. You could
shoot
an email to her.
Yes, I am.
To quickly act on it. Okay. What else is in our...
So I wasn't, if there's anything, Harvey, did you want to talk to the board about the selenium nutrient control, or unless they have questions?
Just questions.
So unless you have questions, I wasn't going to cover anything. I believe, in your packet, though, you do have another table that was inadvertently left out.
Right.
As part of that. But other than that, I wasn't going to cover anything else.
Okay.
I have one question about the salt and nutrient policies. Do we have a sense as to, I see where local entities are supposed to develop salt and nutrient plans by 2014 or 2016 if adequate progress is demonstrated. How's that coming? Do we have a sense? Are they going to hit that mark?
This is Harvey Packard. It's going better in some areas than others. I'm kind of pessimistic that anyone will actually meet the date of 2014. Some are well enough along that we would grant them the extension if they ask for it to 2016, but I doubt if anybody will be done by 2014 in our region.
So on the, what day did I go to Sacramento? The 5th of March. The State Board hosted all the regions to come up and give a update on the progression of salt nutrient management plans. The only regions that didn't attend were 5 because they have CV salts, and 8 who already has done their multi-hundred page basin plan amendment to deal with salt in their basins. I would say that most regions are pretty much in the same place, but not all regions are equal in terms of basins. San Diego has just a few small ones. In fact, the only one they're really pushing for an amendment, a basin plan amendment on, or a salt nutrient management plan, is the Temecula. Four, of course, has a lot of basins, but their basins, many of them are adjudicated. They're overlain by a variety of districts because they are urban in nature. So they're in a much better situation in terms of people taking a leadership role in developing the salt nutrient management plans. 5 has CV salts. 6 has a bunch of small little basins again. Region 1 is only going to do one basin, and that's around Santa Rosa. And Region 2 is not focusing on salt nutrient management plans. They're focusing on recycled water. And that's what they told the board. We're not really focusing on salt nutrient management plans for the few basins. They're more concerned about pushing recycled water at their POTWs. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 has, I think, one basin that they're working on, and 8 we talked about, then 9. So really the major, the ones who have the most to do in terms of actual groundwater basins are 3, 4, and 5. And the other ones either have none they're going to really do, or they just have a bunch of little ones. One thing that came out of the presentation was that the large ag covered basins that are overlain by ag, there's not much going on there. And at that meeting was Bill Thomas, who is an ag rep lobbyist, along with Gail Delahart. And they came up to me afterwards and were quite surprised that the ag community was not involved. And they agreed that more needed to be done. But with the current push on the ag waiver program, adding another requirement on top of that might be problematic. So what we did do is we did agree that because we are dealing with nutrients, you know, salts and nutrients through the ag waiver, the ag order, is that we would put our heads together, staff and those folks, and try to figure out how to best address the need for salt and nutrient management plans for agricultural areas. And in fact, we have, I think, Harvey, aren't we, is it next week or the following week, staff is going to get together, we're going to review the progress, and we're going to try to lay out a little longer-term strategy for getting these done and trying to figure out some ideas for ag.
How many basins are we trying to have salt and nutrient plants developed? These are developed by the local agencies, by like the water management agencies?
And municipalities, correct. Do you know the number?
Yeah,
I don't know.
We have eight in progress. We're missing three or four key ones. And there's a bunch of smaller ones that are less important.
So in terms of acreage, and maybe we should provide this presentation that staff put together, was very informative. In terms of acreage, it's like 60-something percent of the basins are covered. And if you were to capture those ags, ones that aren't, we'd be up about 93%. Greater than 50% of our priority basins are covered or are being developed right now. So we're covering a majority of the area, but ag is still a big piece that's not being addressed, the ag lands.
Okay. Anything else? Anything else for us in the EO report to
nope.
bring our attention?
Nothing that I was going to bring up.
Okay. All right. Are we really done for today?
We have City of Salinas, if you want to talk about that or not. I make a
slight comment.
Go ahead, Russ.
I was trying to find the number that they said. It's a small percentage that they do lift the grates, but it's a lot more grates are lifted than what they have
told us.
They said 30 storm drains are historically known to be more susceptible to leaves. The area I live in, North Salinas, every grate in that area is lifted. And it is because of leaves, and because the storm drains won't handle it. But there are parts of South Salinas that the storm drains are also lifted. So it isn't just 30.
They said 30 and 36.
Right, but it is a small piece of the 355. Right. 3,555 storm drains. But I think one of the big issues with the lifting the storm drains is not only the leaves that I was concerned about, but I was concerned about all the other debris that goes into that. And flipping my hat around, most of that drains into Moss Landing Harbor District, which we get stuck with, all the debris. So that's one of my concerns, is that they take a better look at their stormwater discharges because of the other debris that's in it.
Well, look at their response. They and staff's response is basically what they're doing is reasonable. So how are we going to get them to do?
Well, if you read it as it's presented, yeah. I would agree.
Yeah.
But being on the ground, physically seeing, I would disagree.
So you think it's they're lifting more than they're reporting to staff?
Absolutely.
Well,
and I'm not asking Mr. Schimmick to confirm that, but I think I brought this up before Mr. Schimmick did at previous meetings because it was an issue that I thought was a concern with the storm drains. But I understand the city's got a big problem with that. And when we normally have our big events is when the sycamore trees and the maple trees are dropping their leaves, and they do collect, and they do collect it, the storm drains. So that without flooding the streets and causing hazards with vehicles, I can understand why they're doing it. But on the other hand, it's providing a lot of flow to other types of debris other than leaves.
Mr. Johnston?
Well, the city's response made a lot of sense to me, mm-hmm. assuming that the numbers that they're reporting are actually true numbers.
Right.
It seems if we care to follow it up, it's pretty easy to check. We simply ask them for a list of which are the 30 storm drains that they opened before big events and which are the 36 siphons, what the locations are, and then we pass that list to our resident mole in Salinas, who can tell us if there are others that are regularly being open. Because if their numbers are correct, that there's a total of 66, half of them siphons and half of them storm drains that are being open, and it's 1%, you know, their response kind of makes sense. If they're flat out not telling the truth, then it doesn't.
What do you think, Ken?
Monica.
Speaker card?
Yeah, I guess.
Dr. Hunter.
Regarding trash, there's one thing about leaf debris making it into the system, but trash, I'm wondering, are they obliged to give us an estimate of how much trash might be flowing through those? Are those in real urban congested areas? Are they in residential areas where they're less likely? You know, because if you've got boulevard drains that are being opened, they're likely to have a lot of trash. The residential areas, I'm guessing the percentage would be a lot less. The other question, two parts. The other question I have is, in their stormwater management program, are these kinds of issues addressed in the long term? In other words, if there's maintenance or any kind of repair work, does it call for them to make improvements so that this drain, one at a time, no longer gets exempted from preventing trash from going into the waterways?
I'm Lisa McCann, section manager that houses the stormwater regulatory program. I am not intimately familiar with every detail of the permit, and I would be happy to go find staff to answer more specific questions. I actually tried before I came downstairs, but they weren't available. In general, there are trash controls and expectations of trash effectiveness evaluation, trash reduction tracking in the existing Salinas permit. The effectiveness, the monitoring, and I think we call it the effectiveness. Well, there's water quality monitoring and there's effectiveness monitoring. Let's call it that. I'm not sure I have the term exactly right. That requires the city to use their evaluations of how something is working in terms of maintenance or reduction to inform changes to where they then go next. So whether it's to change the priorities of if they're not inspecting every single facility or storm drain in this case, that would be one way that they would do it. Another way would be that they would be able to identify that something's working someplace. And I'm not sure if that answers your question, but that conceptually that's the way it works.
Yeah, it does. So to me it also suggests that we should see some kind of record of this in their reporting that they have these 30 exceptions and 36 siphon exceptions that are, you know, that don't meet the criteria. So in some fashion, we could start to look to see how much of this is already on the map, or did, you know, are they now just saying, oh, well, this is what we've done, but never showed up in any of the reporting? I would like to know that.
Okay, again, I'm not sure I'm going to be responding exactly to what you said, but I'm not sure there's clarity here. This is not a violation of any term of the permit. We talked about that at the last meeting. This is just the detailed information of what they were doing and why these grates were open. Okay, they have responsibility to do things and report things to prevent pollutants from entering the storm, the receiving water bodies through the storm drains. If these drains don't otherwise have some kind of physical catchment right in the drain themselves, then they opening them or not opening them doesn't prevent the smaller stuff from getting in anyway. So they may have other controls in place to deal with that. Street sweeping is a preventative one. So they may not be counting these 36 because they shouldn't be opened, and they'll tell us when they figure out how not to open them or in that in quite as a specific way as I think I heard you articulate it.
Russ, do you have a question?
Well, no, I was just going to make a statement, and she alluded to it. I must admit that the city tries, when they know a storm event is coming, they make every effort to get the street sweepers out into those particular areas that are heavily indebted with leaves prior to the storm. What the big issue is, lots of times, as they said in their report, and it's true, that they have a four-day work week, and so if a storm is supposed to hit on a Monday, they don't work Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, so the street sweepers probably would not get out in time. But long-range forecasts, when they know the storm, the street sweepers are out and trying to collect as much as they possibly can.
Okay, thank you, Lisa. Mike, did you have a question, or that was a different sign? Okay. What's that? Mr. Shimmick.
So I will not say that I did not intend to speak on this item. I mean, I brought the pictures to you. I think that there's two issues here. One is the street sweeping, and the leaves would not be there, and the trash would not be there if the streets were being swept. And so one issue is street sweeping, and the street sweeping schedule is part of their stormwater permit. That is not, you know, so maybe lifting the grates isn't, but the street sweeping is. The leaves wouldn't be there. The trash wouldn't be in Elkhorn Slough if the streets were swept. And I do doubt, and Mr. Jeffries, you are much more, you know, have a much greater intimate knowledge of Salinas, having been mayor, than I do. But frankly, I do doubt some of these communities sweep their streets as often as they claim in their stormwater permits. And frankly, I have personal experience with that where I once lived. So that's the one issue. The second issue is that grates are lifted long into the winter when the leaves are essentially off the trees. And I provided date-stamped photos to that effect. Thank you.
Well, what's in the swamp? I mean, what is actually in their permit in terms of, I mean, streets? Lisa, do you know? We don't have staff here because, I mean, you know, if we were going to make an issue of this or want to dig into it more, we'd have to start with that to see what they are telling us they're doing. And we have to look at their annual reports to see how they're implementing the iterative process and whether they have, you know, come up with any better ideas on how to deal with leaves or whether they even think there's a problem there. So am I hearing anything from the board that they want someone to go down this road and dig this up for us to have a presentation?
I just like to add to that, Mr. Chairman, that yes, that's correct, it's accurate, and we would compare that to other issues in the city that are being reported to us and prioritize those and act on the ones that are the highest priority.
Yeah.
So that we have to include that in the in the picture.
Dr. Wolf?
The rainy season is over.
Right.
So
it's not an issue now. Is
it's
what you're
not
saying.
An issue for the rest of the year.
It's supposed to rain next Wednesday and Thursday.
Actually, yeah, it is. But it'll be an issue next winter.
Yeah. But every city has these type of challenges.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll just throw an idea out. If you, for example, if you wanted the city to come in and talk to you or make a presentation, you know, July is going to be in Watsonville, so it's not a very far trip for them to come over. If you wanted to agendize something and invite them to come talk about that, it's just an idea.
How does the agenda look for July?
Right.
The LID thing is on.
LID.
Post-construction stormwater.
We have a two-day meeting, so I'll...
Yeah. Is it...
Well, let's... we'll look at it, and if there's time, would you like something like that placed on the agenda or request me?
You know what? Maybe we don't need to load it up other than to have maybe staff just put something in the EO report. We could just look at those provisions of their swamp. And if you could take a quick look only at those parts of their annual reports to just let us know if they've been self-reporting anything about the efficacy of street sweeping, how many times a year they're doing it. Maybe that could be a starting point. So.
They do it twice a month.
They do it twice a month? Okay. Hmm. All right. Anything else?
When I was mayor, we did it every week.
If we could only go back to those days, Russ.
Oh, I don't think I want to go back to those days.
In fact, I was hoping, with you being on our board, that you'd have whip and chain over there at Salinas.
His nickname was Mr. Clean.
Oh, yeah, Mr. Clean. No, we did. Well, they cut back to two times a month simply because of cost issues. Yeah.
Okay.
Like everything else.
All right. Anything else for the EO report? Okay.
No.
So we are done for today. We resume tomorrow at 9 a.m.
Correct.
With agenda item